Good evening. Wasn't mentioned in prayer, but we're going to be sure we don't forget all those thousands of portraits that are out there in homes. Thousands of these things are laying in people's homes. Keep those things in prayer, daily prayer, and what the Lord might have us do with those many that have received the word and how we might follow up on that. We need to keep that in prayer. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. For the last month or so, I've been kind of studying Thessalonians week to week, just kind of looking at a chapter and working through it. There's a thought in 1 Thessalonians that as I began this study shortly after September 11th, I've been sobered to, and I'll admit I don't live in light of it moment to moment. There are times when I truly know that I'm living in light of the reality of the truth that we'll consider here, but perhaps it'll be an encouragement for us all. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols, to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. We'll stop there. This is a wonderful testimony that this church at Thessalonica had. Paul's very encouraged by the results that he sees and that he hears. Paul has a great love for these ones that are here. And the portion, though, that I wanted to take a look at is a thought that's run through this, very evident that it's in the thinking of these early believers, very evident that it's in the thinking of Paul himself, and that's found in verse 10. We'll read verse 9 again for context. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols, to serve the living and true God, and to wait, there it is, and to wait for his Son from heaven. There's a few points that I'd like to emphasize regarding this waiting for the Son from heaven, living in the reality of the momentary return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to take a look at the fact that it's him that's coming. I'd like to second take a look at the fact that it will happen. The third is the fact that the time of his coming is unknown. And in light of those three things, what type of effect it ought to have on our lives. The fact that it's him, that it's going to happen, and that the time is unknown. Go ahead, if you will, to chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. Actually, at the end of each chapter, 1 Thessalonians, you'll find that there's comment made regarding the reality of the Lord's soon return. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 14, we're going to consider the reality that it's Him, that it's the Lord Jesus that's returning, that it's Him that we're looking forward to seeing. Verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord," it's the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. I've emphasized through that portion there the fact that that the Lord is preeminent, that it's the Lord that's coming. It's the Lord that we're going to meet. It's the Lord that we're going to always be with. You know, there are instances where in some of these Bible studies that I do that I'll hear people comment about they're looking forward to seeing loved ones, or they're looking forward to disposing of these broken down bodies, or that they're looking forward to the blessings of heaven. But I think we as believers need to keep in our mind that we're looking forward to seeing the Lord. It's Him that we're looking forward to seeing. It's Him that's going to come. This thought, actually, of the Lord's return is found, in, as far as I can tell, in every book in the New Testament, save, I didn't see it in Philemon. But as far as I can tell, it's in every book of the New Testament. Titus would tell us that we're looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a couple of parables I'd like to take a look at that the Lord Jesus spoke of regarding the idea, if you'll go to Mark chapter 13. There are several parables that speak of the master going away and he leaves those servants to work. But the master promises that he's coming back. Mark chapter 13. I might mention as we're looking for it, Mark chapter 13, that as I said in the beginning, that it was September 11th that I was sobered to the thought. The first thought that crossed my mind was the fact that when I saw what was happening, when I heard what was happening, the first thought that crossed my mind was, well, the Lord knows. The Lord knows about this. And the second thought was that the Lord's coming. Since then, I've really prayed that the Lord would sober me to the reality of His soon return, and that I would live understanding that He's at the very door. But here we see in Mark chapter 13, beginning in verse 34, "For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh." There it is. The master of the house cometh. "At evening, at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you all, watch." Go ahead to the book of Luke, chapter 12. We'll look at another account. Luke 12:36. We begin in verse 35. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord. They're waiting for their Lord. When he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and come forth to serve them. The emphasis being there that they're waiting for their Lord, that they may open unto him immediately. The other thought that I had there that the Lord brought to mind was the whole story of Rebekah and Isaac. It's a beautiful picture of a bride coming to be joined with the bridegroom. And if you remember that portion, she's the servants leading, and Rebekah lifts up her eyes, and it says, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off her camel, for she had said to the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? Her thoughts, her attention was first just drawn to her bridegroom. And you know, isn't that the truth, that it's all about him? Our lives, the next thing on the horizon is that we're going to see him. Knowing him and living for him now, he's the one that saved us. He's the one that's washed us and carried us and loved us and kept us. He's the one that walks with us day to day. It's him. It's all about him. It's not the blessings. It's not the hope or all that's in store. It's not the crowns. It's not the reuniting. It's all about him. It's all about the altogether lovely one. It's all about the anchor, the author of our and finisher of our faith. It's all about the beloved. It's all about the bread. It's all about the bridegroom. It's all about the chiefest among 10,000. It's all about Christ. It's all about the comforter, the deliverer, the door, the first and the last. It's all about the fountain. It's all about the head. It's all about our helper, our hiding place. It's all about our intercessor. It's all about the king. It's all about the life. The word of life, the light of men, the light of the world. It's all about our master. It's all about the Messiah. It's all about our peace. It's all about our refuge. It's all about the resurrection and the life, the Savior of the world, the shepherd. It's all about our teacher, the truth, the vine. It's all about he that's called wonderful. It's all about the word of God and the word of life. It's all about him, waiting, as Paul says there, waiting for his son from heaven. Are you waiting for the son from heaven? The second thing I'd like to take a look at is the fact that it will happen. John 14:3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, anybody finish that? I will come again. Put those four words any way you want. Again will I come. Come I will again. Will I come again? I will come again. The Lord Jesus is going to come again. Acts 1:10-11. Do you remember it's interesting, the first thing out of the mouth after the ascension, out of the mouth of anyone after the ascension of the Lord, these two men standing in white, they speak to the disciples. They say, why are you gazing into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go. The first word spoken upon his ascension. Now whether that's speaking of him coming into the clouds or coming to the earth, these are often blended. It's kind of difficult to discern as to which is which. Nonetheless, the Lord is coming. Revelation says repeatedly, let me just read them for you, hold fast till I come. Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come as a thief. Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Surely I come quickly. My guess is if I was standing here and you're holding the door as we leave here and I kept saying to you, I'm coming quickly. I'm coming quickly. My guess is you'd continue to hold the door for me as I was walking. I think it's time to stand at the door to know that the Lord is coming quickly. It will happen. The evidence of that is God is not a man that he should lie. Hath he said it, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? The Lord has said it. It will happen. He will come. It will happen. You know, it's interesting that if there's anyone here that has any thought regarding the delay of the Lord, Matthew would tell us in the parable that it's the evil servant that says in his heart, "My Lord delayeth his coming." The Lord will come. Let us not be what like those that would say that the Lord's delaying. That wouldn't be the mindset of those that love the Lord. He's coming. The third thought that I would have there is that the time's unknown. The idea of waiting. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's take a look at that. There's a portion there regarding the return of the Lord. Chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. Perhaps these are all verses that we've memorized at one time or another, or we've heard them so much it's in our minds. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. I do find that, I must say, I do find that a comfort, or I do see it as being a comfort to those that I find myself ministering week to week in these nursing homes or retirement homes. I can tell you, week to week, I see a continual spiral downward of health and loss of hearing, and they're slowing down. Within the last couple of months, or within the last year, I've seen a lady that lose one leg and then lose another leg, and then later have a stroke, and within a week, she's gone. Just the thought that within a moment, within the twinkling of an eye, this mortal, this body that is corrupting will become incorruptible. This mortal will take on immortality. Just in a second's time, this is going to happen. You know, I don't know what the twinkling of an eye is, how quick that is, but my guess is that's pretty quick. My guess is quicker than a blink. I'm not sure, but in a twinkling of an eye, it's all over. It's all done. We're with the Lord. Not to say that we can't find comfort in these other things, but again, as I emphasize that it's the Lord that's coming, but nonetheless, this would be one of the results of the fact of this momentary change that will take place. James would tell us, "Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Well, if we could read that in James, "the coming of the Lord draweth nigh," it's been 2,000 years. Our salvation is certainly nearer today. The reality of the coming of the Lord, how close are we? Well, we're a lot closer than they were, but nonetheless, you know, those, as we read those portions from Paul, he expected, you know, we which are alive and remain, Paul believed that he was coming, that the Lord was going to come in his lifetime. Or as he spoke to the Thessalonians, that they might be a part of this coming. Sometimes I think we can forget that the Lord is coming, and we need to be reminded of it. Well, the time's unknown. those parables, we'll find them following the idea of the master returning. If you were to compile them, it would say that it would be at evening, or it might be at midnight, or in the second watch, or in the third watch, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. So we don't know when it is, any time, night, or day, regardless as to what time of day it is. It can happen. And I think even there, we might even think that, you know, as time goes on, that we would lose heart. Or even as the night around us looks even darker, to wonder as to whether the Lord's really coming. No matter how dark it gets out there, no matter how late the night grows, the Lord's still coming. His promise is still good. You know, I've been reminded recently about some personal experiences I've had about waiting. And about a week or two ago, I had to wait. I was supposed to meet this buddy of mine at his home at 6. Well, I'm waiting out front. I pull my car in the front by the street, and I'm waiting. And it's 6:15, and he's not there. Well, I begin to just think as to knowing that the Lord's been showing me some things regarding the need to be waiting and looking for the Lord. So I thought, well, let's see how I respond to this waiting. So I continued to wait, and it got to be 6:30, and I thought, this guy's not coming. I mean, it's already 6:30, and I'm already starting to say, well, maybe he's not coming. How long do I wait? Well, it got to be 6:35, and I began to think, well, I'll give him about 10 minutes. If he's not here, he's not coming, right? As it grows longer, as the time continues on, you begin to think. And I got to be 1:45, and I said, all right, Lord, I'm waiting 15 minutes. This guy's not here. I'm going for sure. If he doesn't come in an hour, he's not coming, right? Well, he didn't show up for the hour. Put a note on his door, and I left, and I thought, well, I said, call me when you get in. I went home and I never received a call that night. We got the next day. Well, but isn't it interesting? I would encourage you. It was an interesting episode there, because as I was sitting there in my car, it's dark out, and I kept looking for the signs of his coming. I kept looking. He drives a 4x4, and so I'm looking in my rear view, and I'm thinking, that's him. There he is. No, that's not him. He drives by me. Or I see someone coming towards me, and I look, and the size of the vehicle, I'm looking for the signs, right? And I'm looking and thinking that that's him, that's not him. But I kept looking for the signs. Well, you know, there are actually, I'm not sure there's any, and others can correct me, or you might have a thought here, but I'm not sure there's any signs of the return of the Lord Jesus to the air. There are many signs for the times of the tribulation, what's going to happen there during the tribulation, or the coming judgment of the Lord, the ecumenical thing, but all for the coming of the Lord Jesus. I'm not sure there's signs, but nonetheless, we can see some of these things going on, and we can't help but think that the Lord's coming. I'm reminded also of times as a kid where my sister and my brother and sister and myself, my mom and dad worked. And I think after maybe when I was about 8 or 9, I remember my mom going to work, and that they would always, the job that she had, we knew when they were going to come home. By 5, we could set our clocks by it, but like 5:15 or 5:16, they'd pull in the driveway. We'd even know the sound of their coming. We could, and you know what, every time we'd walk in the door, there'd be a list of things. Hi, kids. Hope your day went well. Do this. Put the laundry away. Take the garbage out. Jeff, do this. Ann, do this. You know, there'd be a list here. And maybe at the bottom, there'd be in capital letters, no fighting, you know, underlined, you know, because Jeff used to, like, come after his sister a lot. I was such a creepy kid, I tell you. But anyway, there was this note, and we were expected to have these things done. And out of my love for mom and dad, I would, you know, we would do these things. And there were times maybe we'd lose track of time, but we knew that at 5:15, these things were to be done. You know, there was work here to be done, and so we could also, though, knew of the time of their coming. And so in light of the fact that at 5:15 they're going to come, I can tell you sometimes by 5 o'clock or so, I'd recheck that list. I'd run through the house and maybe pick up or at least look like an effort's been made, or, you know, maybe last minute scramble type thing, or if my sister and I were fighting, I'd make sure, you know, that we weren't at least still red in the face when mom and dad walked in, or, you know, but there, we knew that there would be shame if my dad would have to say something. If my sister was like ready to rat on me or something when my mom and dad walked in the door, that I knew that there'd be shame to follow, I didn't want to have to have happen what might have happened if my mom and dad have worked hard all day, they don't want to come home for this, and I just, you know, this type of thing. We knew the time of their coming. There'd be times when we look out the window, we'd see, oh, they're not here yet. Or someone would say, mom and dad are home. And we knew what that meant. You know, it was like, get busy, straighten up, stop, you know, get in line, that type of thing. Well, if that does it in the physical, is there anything in Scripture that would convince us that in light of His coming, the fact then that we don't know when it is, the fact that it's the Lord, it's the one that knows us, the one that knows everything about us, the one that's paid the price for us, our Savior, if He's coming, how ought we to live in light of His return? Well, as we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, it did say, you've turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait. Almost in one breath, he says, turned to serve, to wait. So I think the idea of waiting for the Son is something that is a common thought that ought to be a part of our day-to-day mindset as we serve the Lord, as we live our life. Luke, we'd find in one of those other parables, those 10 servants were told to occupy till I come. I would ask you, is there any service that you need to be doing in light of knowing that the Lord's coming, that the Lord has burdened you to do? Is there any work, is there anything that the Lord would have you to be occupied doing in light of knowing that He's coming? You know, not only was it out of knowing that my parents were coming, but it was also out of the love of my parents that I would do those things. And I don't want to say that the return of the Lord is the only motivator for us to be busy doing the work. Really, it ought to be out of just the love of our hearts for the Lord to be busy serving the Lord. Move ahead, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. We'll take a look at a couple of other thoughts there regarding His soon coming. Chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. What ought our attitude or activity to be in light of His coming? 1 Thessalonians 3:12 will begin, and it says, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming. There it is. At the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what's the activity that ought to be a part of our lives is the fact that we're increasing and abounding, multiplying in love one toward another and toward all men. Certainly between each other within the body of Christ, to encourage each other, to demonstrate works of love and one toward the other, but toward all men, to the end that we'd be established, our hearts would be established unblameable in holiness. I'm not sure I understand what that means, unblameable in holiness before the coming of our Lord, but nonetheless, to that end, would we grow in light of His coming. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Paul's desire for them, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there it is again, whole spirit, soul, and body preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. You know, in 1 Thessalonians 15, when we read that portion regarding the fact that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, as you continue to read on in that same chapter there, Paul's encouragement for them would be, therefore, in light of this, therefore, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. That follows the, behold, I show you a mystery in a moment, in twinkling of an eye. Be steadfast, inside perhaps, unmovable, outwardly, always abounding, maybe even enthusiastic in the work of the Lord. John would tell us in 1 John that, beloved, now are you sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. To be living holy and unblameable at the coming of the Lord Jesus, to be abounding in love one for another, to be continuing on with the work, knowing that he's coming and he's left us a work to do. And each of us, we know our burdens, we know our gifts, we know the way in which we can encourage one another, we know the way in which we can love one another and demonstrate that, show care for one another or show love for those that are on the outside. His desire is that we'd be busy doing this. We know that there's plenty of other scriptures that give evidence of our need to live our lives in such a way that as they see us, that they see Christ. We're to be ambassadors for Christ. Other scripture would tell us that we're to do all in the name of the Lord. We're to speak with grace. We're to depart from iniquity. Keep unspotted from the world. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Have no confidence in the flesh. Well, scripture would tell us that some will love his appearing. Some will be waiting and watching and serving. Some will be ashamed. Some will be sleeping. Some may have work that had never been started. Some may be caught up in the pleasures and treasures of this life. Some may be fighting with others. That evil servant that I said that speaks about the delay of the master, that servant goes out and it says he goes out and spends time with those, the drunkards, and begins to beat up on the other servants. Colossians would say, be in prayer and watch. Again, each book through the New Testament, we'd find encouragement about the soon coming and the need for to be patiently waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, so the big questions then are for us as we consider the soon return of the Lord. Do we really believe that he's coming again? Do we really believe it's going to be in a moment? What manner of persons ought we to be? We can all ask ourselves, is there anything that we know that the Lord would have us to be steadfast in doing that we aren't? Then the encouragement is to get busy doing it. Is there anything that we know that we would not want to be doing when the Lord comes and be caught? Well, then let's stop doing it. If you've been saved 10 years, you've had 3,650 days to get to know the Lord, to serve the Lord. If you've been saved 20 years, you've had 7,300 days to get to know and to serve the Lord. If you've been saved 30 years, it's over 10,000. 40 years, it's 14,000 days to get up and to know the Lord. 50 years, it's 18,000 days. This may be the last one. Tomorrow, it may be all done. No more serving the Lord. No more speaking a word to another regarding the Lord. As far as our time on this earth, it may be done. Certainly we could think of this even in light of the fact that we don't know day to day, not only of the Lord's coming, but as to what the future holds even for the next hour or the 2 hours or for the next day, physically speaking, even with our own health or the things that happen in the world day to day. I might just close with this thought. As a result of what 1 John 2:28 says, there's a short poem that I've heard Roy Hill give a couple of years ago at a conference. 1 John 2:28 says, "And now, little children, abide in him. When he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Here's the poem. "By and by, when I look on his face, beautiful face, thorn-shadowed face, by and by, when I look on his face, I wish I had given him more. By and by, when he holds out his hands, welcoming hands, nail-pierced hands. By and by, when he holds out his hands, I'll wish I had given him more. By and by, when I kneel at his feet, beautiful feet, nail-pierced feet. By and by, when I kneel at his feet, I'll wish I had given him more. More, so much more, more of my life than I e'er gave before. By and by, when I kneel at his feet, I wish I had given him more." Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just are sobered in light of the truth of Scripture regarding this one that has loved us so much and has demonstrated that, has been with us and in us and walks with us day to day. We look forward to him, to the Lord Jesus coming for us, to be taken up, to be with him forever. Encourage our hearts, Father, to look for him day to day, to be watching and to be waiting, to be doing the work, to be abounding in love one for the other. Heavenly Father, we would just commit this time to you now. As we depart from here, help us to even count our days, to know that the rest of the day is not guaranteed. If there are things that we knew, if we knew you were coming tomorrow at 5 o'clock, Lord, that our lives would not change, that we would continue just to do the things that we're doing. And if there's anything, Father, that we'd change about our lives, if we knew you were coming tomorrow at 5, that we'd make that change right now, that we'd live accordingly. Help us, Father, to think on these things. Keep before us the soon return of the Lord and help us to live in light of that. Encourage our hearts now as we depart. In the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.